Good evening, gentlemen. Happy Wednesday. I love that it's always the same familiar faces on here. Good to see everybody. Chris, I see you looking like you're in Hawaii, man. What's going on?
No, just in Ottawa. Wish I was in Hawaii, but
Nice. How's your training coming, man?
really good. Really good.
Good. What's the goal now? Are you growing? Or are you still getting leaner?
Growing right now, but I think I'm going to slowly try to lean out at the same time.
What was your lowest body fat?
Didn't really do a calculation,
That's
but I got down to about 180, 80 and a half pounds, and I'm about 193 right now, but it doesn't look like my comp has changed at all, so it just looks like I've filled back out.
beautiful. What did you start your transformation at?
About 238, 245, like between 230 and 240. So yeah.
So 60 pound loss, that's
Yeah.
decent.
Yeah.
Decent. Good job, man.
Yeah, it was pretty, yeah.
All right. So I mentioned that I would talk about some things today that have been useful for me in the last maybe 6 months on how I objectify progress for my guys, and thought it would be a useful framework for me to share with you guys. And I think I'm gonna start blending it into the content a little bit more in the future because it seems really useful. And Kurt, I'm sure you have some insights on this once you know what I'm talking about. But the concept of functional capacity is something that's really been top of mind for me lately. And as men, our aspiration is often like, well, I want to be able to not just do more, but do more high leverage tasks. Like I want to be able to do things that ultimately generate more money, that generate better results in the gym, that generate, I don't know, just higher leverage, right? And so we think about, well, what are the high leverage tasks and how do we ensure that we have the capacity to hold the responsibilities that we take on? For example, if we take on things that are bigger responsibility, higher leverage, we want to make sure that we have the capacity and the ability to follow through on those commitments, right? So you open a new business, you want to make sure you have the capacity to follow through. You commit to a new physique goal, you have to make sure you have the capacity to follow through. So the concept of functional capacity is how predictably and reliably do I follow through on the responsibilities that I take on? And so I'm very blessed to work with guys like you and guys who are ultimately very high level successful guys. Some of my clients are, 9 and 10 figure entrepreneurs. And so I get to observe, right? I get to sit back and I can say, well, what are these people doing that is different? And some people succeed consistently and repeatedly, and some people don't. Some people succeed sometimes and not others, and some people don't succeed at all. So how do we start to objectify this in a way that we can ultimately repeat criticism that's repeatable and predictable? And so what I've landed on is there seems to be four areas that influence what I'll say is this idea of functional capacity, right? So if I were to say, we're gonna hand you this new responsibility, what's the likelihood you're gonna follow through on it? So generally, there seems to be about four areas that are gonna hold you back. First one, no particular order. First one, energy. If we talked about this previously, if we doubled your energy, would that improve your quality of life, your ability to follow through on outcomes? Most people would say yes. And so energy would be then correlated with your metabolic capacity. Like how well does your metabolism produce energy? So I call that metabolic capability, right? So how capable is your metabolism? Second one, physical capability, right? Like sometimes our physical abilities limits our ability to do things, right? It limits our ability to play sports. It limits our ability to play with our kids. Could limit any number of things. So the second one, the first one, energy, metabolic capability. Second one, physical capability. As we age, the aspiration is, well, when I'm 60, 70, 80, 90, I want to be very physically capable. Meaning, because freedom, ultimately, we talk about freedom being financial. Maybe geographical, but nobody thinks about financial, excuse me, about freedom being physical. And so if I want to improve my capacity to do anything in life, I certainly want to have physical capability. Third one, psychological capability, meaning am I limited by fear? Am I limited by my beliefs? Am I limited by the absence of discipline, the absence of clarity? the absence of purpose. So if I'm not psychologically capable, I won't follow through, right? I have to have the ability to think. I have to have the ability to be focused, to maintain attention. So we have metabolic capability, physical capability, psychological capability, and the final one is physiological capability, which is really the ability to adapt to impose demand, right? So if I put you in a stressful situation, how quickly and readily do you adapt? Ideally, we don't get stressed out and stay in that state. We get stressed out, we come right back down to baseline, right? So I call these the four resiliencies. And so this is how I've started to objectify progress, or what, the four resiliencies that ultimately leading to success, right? So if I can improve your capacity in each of or any of these areas, we can definitively, objectively say this person is going to be more capable. Has everyone followed me so far? Okay. So if we want to improve our ability to follow through more predictably and reliably with any result, we want to make sure that we're addressing or at least measuring and then progressing each of these four areas of, call it resiliency, call it capability. And so if you're limited by any of those, you'll be limited in you'll be limited in the scope of what you can handle in life. So in coaching, my objective is I want 100% success with all of my guys. And so this is the way that I'm starting to look at now, like, well, hey, how do we objectify getting you a bigger result, a better result in the same or less time? And so this is how I'm framing it. And I think this is a bit for me, been a really useful way for me to measure where you are, where you're starting, what the first and important most important lever is to pull. Like if your energy is low, well, then we need to fix that. If you're physically incapable, we need to fix that. If your mindset is limited, then we need to fix that. Or if your stress resilience is low, we need to fix that. So it gives me a really objective measuring stick from which to make decisions. So throwing this out to you guys, the 16, 15 other people, no, not 16 other people that are on the call. I'd love it if you guys could throw something in the chat box that's like, hey, which of these, and here's the thing, they overlap.
Math, did we lose Ben?
Hey Steve, yeah, we lost Ben, but his internet dropped. He's just trying to get back on. Sorry, gents.
I'm leaving. I'm dying.
Hey guys, I'm sorry my audio is the best. While we're waiting for Ben, I'm not sure. I actually see a lot of new faces in here. So if anybody can actually share any wins they've had recently, I'd love to hear them because again, it would help me acquaint myself with some of the new faces. Keith, you're always
You're always talking, so you can roll the ball, buddy. I know you have something.
Thanks, Dave. I literally just sat down. I'm trying to get my camera working and everything. For me, win, I think, is I was away for 3 months traveling with work. So getting back into training, getting back online with all my nutrition, everything, managed to hold the fort just. But yeah, a little bit down on weight now this week, which is good. Strength's been up while I've been away. So yeah, and then got the eyes on Costa Rica. So for me, it's balls to the wall from here on in. So
Awesome. Is that the goal right now? Is getting more cut?
yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
What's the projection? Like, what numbers shoot for?
I think, well, Andrew and I are going to have a sit down tomorrow morning, my time. So tomorrow afternoon, I think, for you guys. Yeah, I think, I don't know, because I'd always kind of set the bar low for myself. I think Andrew's got kind of a high bar. So for me, it's probably getting the fat level right down. I think the strength's pretty good, but yeah, it's just that kind of stubborn last bit of residual fat around the middle that I've got to work on. So yeah, it's discipline and focus there to get that there. So we'll have a clearer picture after tomorrow, I think.
What's the leanest you feel you've been?
What's that, buddy?
Probably now.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
What's the leanest you've been, Keith? I didn't hear what Steve said. Sorry.
I mean, probably now, since, like, in terms of body fat, I don't know, because I haven't had a proper test for a while, but I'm sitting around 92 kgs. So yeah, I think Andrew's got goals to get that probably closer to 10 lower, I think. So yeah, we'll have a pretty clear picture tomorrow, I hope. Then the countdown can start.
That's awesome. And well, you know what? Anybody can do it. You can do it. Does it scare you at all?
It's, yeah, huge.
Oh,
Like, I
yeah.
think,
Is it?
because I missed the Costa Rica setup call while I was away, Ben. So I watched that last week, and setting the bar high. Like, it's very daunting. But I think Andrew knows me well. He's kind of forced me to really push. So if I don't have that goal, I'm actually never going to believe that I can do it. So yeah, it's
And
awesome.
is it like the performance side of it, or is it the weight loss side that scares you?
Probably more the weight loss, because I've never done it. So believing that I can do it and actually pursuing it, which I think I can, it's just the actual step by step now. Like, it's not a quick fix. I know it's going to be a grind. It's going to be a long push. So
So,
yeah.
man, it doesn't matter if you can't. I want everyone to, let's just, we limit ourselves with our beliefs, right? It doesn't matter if you can't. All that matters is you do today, right? It doesn't matter what your result is. And this is where people get messed up, because we look at the top of the mountain, we go, I can't get there. But what you can do is what you can do today. And so if you take your focus off of the end result and just focus on, I'm just going to work today, because you never know what you can and you can't do, man. And sometimes putting yourself into those hard situations, that's the only way to grow. Like, I do that constantly in my life, and sometimes I'm scared shitless, but eventually you start realizing, like, I'll just believe in myself because I just won't stop. Right, I may not get it on time, but I just won't stop. And you start to develop this unrelenting belief in yourself, not because I'm more capable than anyone else, just because I'm dumb enough to try. You know, I think that's the reality, man. Sometimes you just got to put your feet in the fire.
Yeah, 100%. And I think having Andrew give me a rocket, and I've got a good group of people around me who are pushing, so, and I'm pulling them close. So I think, yeah, it's exciting. It's got to be done. Like, I mean, it's like your thing. If you can't, you must. So I've got to get that done for December. So it's a really good push for me.
Man,
Pumped.
and learning to, like, welcome, you know, so I'll tell you this, expect it to be 10 times harder than you think, and welcome that. Be like, fucking, here we go, man. Like, I want to be thrown into the fire, the hottest fire. You know, like, I crave that. Because if you don't intentionally get your head around that, what happens? As soon as it gets hard, you start to get afraid, because you're like, oh, I don't know if I can handle this. When you expect and you welcome the discomfort, when you expect it to be very, very, like, way harder than you would have expected, then no matter how hard it can be, you're good. I think that's, a lot of people sell themselves short because they're like, oh, you know, I think it's going to be easy. I'm like, motherfucker, you don't want it to be easy. You want it to be as hard as you possibly can make it, as much as you can endure, and still endure it.
Yeah, awesome. Appreciate that, guys.
Sorry, guys, I got cut off there. Of all the places, I thought I would have great Wi-Fi here, and I didn't. Yeah, sorry. I think that was kind of the end of what I was saying, though. But just this concept of, like, assess yourself, and if you guys actually didn't already do, I don't know if you did, put some comments in the chat box. Like, what is the what which of those is limiting for you, if any? And then the next step is, are you setting goals for yourself that ultimately expand, force you, require you to expand these four resiliencies, right? Like expand me, force me to get better physically, force me to get better psychologically, force me to get more resilient to stress, right? Like you need it. You need those big lofty goals. And that's kind of my goal here with this community is like, I want to push you guys hard. That's the goal of Costa Rica. Like, where are you going to test? It's like your testing ground, you know? Like, you can read all the books you want, but until life puts you to the test, you don't know if you actually learn anything. Similar here. Like, until we go and actually push you, you don't really know. Kurt, anything to add to the concept that I threw together there on the four resiliencies?
No, it did bring to mind something I use, and I think you and I have even discussed version of it in the past. You ever looked at those? It's a circle diagram, and it's got the lines going out, and one might be, physicality, cognitive, family, and it's basically a wheel, and then you just rate it, and then you kind of come out with a shape. The perfect shape, of course, would be a sphere that extends all the way out to whatever, like number 10. But I use that daily. It's more of a on the physical side, though. But I like doing those type of assessments, like you're talking about these areas, and getting that shape because it really gives you a visual, first of all, to the imbalance if you're rating it objectively. No, it was just bringing me out of that. I was actually looking at
Yeah.
my.
So that brings a good question, man. Does now is the goal balance, right? So like, I don't know that I would want like maybe. So, since taking my Demartini stuff a little bit more consistently, I don't know that I want balance, right? I
I
want
don't know if you
there
see
you go. There you go. Yeah.
it. Yeah, so that's basically it. Yeah.
What app is that?
It's the government thing I'm
Oh,
working
okay.
on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, like since taking my Demartini stuff, everyone talks about balance, where he would say, well, I don't know that he what he would say, but based on his stuff, what I would say is, I don't know that I want balance. I want to put a disproportionate amount of time and effort and sacrifice into the things that I value most, and less time and effort and sacrifice in things I don't value. Right? And obviously, there's certain things in life you have to do, even if you don't value them. There's certain things you have to get done just to be a human. But as far as balance, you're like, oh, well, you get to choose your balance, right? You get to choose how you invest that time and energy based on values, right? So I'd probably would say, like, when given the choice, I put a disproportionate amount of time into my family and my business and my fitness. And other things don't really get a lot of time.
And balance, since you mentioned that, let's just talk about a term everybody here is familiar with, like HRV. And a lot of, initially when people first learn about it, they think that, oh yeah, you would think your heartbeat should be just this regular metronomic type of thing. You find out though, no, that's actually worse. So it's not this steady glide. By the way, excuse background noise, kids are doing piano lessons. But it's everything is actually at its best. Like even the word homeostasis, which people think the body is in balance. No, it means the body is at the edge of controlled chaos. And that's what it is. It's controlled chaos at all these points. And, this point, the technology and everything we have, we can start identifying those levers. In this particular case, you've got these four particular items you're using to quantify this. Trying to find those and find out where do we actually start manipulating these levers to create the semblance of balance. But at the end of the day, we're in control of nothing and we're actually managing a chaotic environment, if that makes sense to you.
You become more resilient to chaos. Yeah. Anyone have questions on that concept? Does it feel like that would be useful in your life in trying to hold larger responsibilities? Just like objectifying, well, which part, like, 'cause you're like, well, I'm not following through, or which part is not following through, right? 'Cause you could be do really well in one, two, or three of those areas, but if one area is suffering, then you could fall apart. And I think that's an interesting mental framework for you. Stevie, how's everything in your world?
Good, man. It's good to see you. I haven't seen you forever, I feel.
Been too long,
As
man.
you're talking, I know, as you're talking about capacity, though, that's this street that I walk. Because when I first started to steal my steps, there's like a gas station back there
Yep.
that I would get to, and it's usually when I do it, there and back to around 5,000. And then as I kept on doing the cut we're all doing, my day would turn into like 25,000. Because I kept on going a little further, a little further, a little further, and then I keep on getting further. And then it's like just part of the day, just go for a walk. But it's really funny because I was talking to one of my friends. This guy's been doing the dirtiest of dirtiest bulk. The bulk has gone too far. And so he thought that he could just like drop it quickly, right? And I'm like, oh man, it's I think you're in for a treat. Because he doesn't understand like all the patterns and the habits he's been accruing over time.
Yep.
And so within like the first couple of days, he's like, how do I do this without walking so much? I'm like, you're not even walking. He told me he was hitting like 4,000 a day. And I'm like, if you're already trying, like you're in trouble. So it's just funny how once you see that the person's functional capacity, as you're saying, it's really evident and how it's very, very powerful too to lean on.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes we're so limited by fear, right? You know, he's like, oh, I don't want to walk 4,000 steps. That's got to be some conscious fear, maybe conscious fear, like fear of discomfort when he's walking, fear of embarrassment, fear of whatever. You know, it could be something. Human dynamics is so fascinating to me, trying to figure out how humans click.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Paul, how are you, man? I haven't seen you on here in a bit. Maybe I've been absent.
Am perfectly fine. Thank you for asking.
Okay, where are you in the world?
Columbus, Ohio, or just outside of
Nice. How's training?
perfectly fine. Can go harder, but made some changes like in the past week for core strength, but getting
You said
better.
you need to go harder?
I am going harder.
Okay.
Like increasingly.
Good. How's the progress?
In terms of weights in the gym, body weight,
You tell me.
weights are going up maybe for one or two exercises a week and testing it out. Body weight is still relatively constant, but still working on the nutrition to try and get that locked down and seeing improvement there.
What's your primary goal?
At this point, building muscle, but still just
Okay.
trying to work through the nutrition aspect to
Any
reliably
specific
start doing
body
that.
part or just overall?
Just overall.
Any specific thing that's driving you to do that?
Just to work towards getting better, getting stronger, being able to handle things a little bit better.
Handle what?
Psychological stress at work. Just
Okay.
trying to work through that and push myself.
Yeah. Do you train in the morning or in the evening?
Morning
Good.
before work and
Cool.
sorry.
Do you find you're more mentally resilient when you get a hard workout in before work and you can get them tolerate more at work?
It's touch and go. It depends more on the people I have to interact with in the day and if they're on meetings and are hitting stressors more than normal.
Yeah. So how long have you been at the job?
4 years in the job role.
And you feel like people bring stress into your life?
Unintentionally, it's more differences in personalities and just not clicking well.
So you're perceiving it in a way that's creating stress?
To a point, yes.
Makes sense. I think that, so I think, have you heard of Dr. John DeMartini, the guy I was just mentioning?
Yes.
Yeah, look him up, man. So, like, is any event in this world polarized? No, is any event in this world stressful? The event itself.
So it'd be more the perception to it and how you handle it, wouldn't
Oh, it's always the perception. Yep. Because the question is, was it stressful to who? Right? If you see it from this angle and I see it from that angle, it's completely different. And so the only situation or the only meaning that gets put on situation is the one that you choose to put on it and the perception. So I just say like take back the ownership or the responsibility for like I'm going to choose not to be perceive this as stressful. Sometimes it's hard, man. Sometimes you're like my job's at risk, my livelihood's at risk. Sometimes there's shit that's stressful. Like this is stressful, but you say like what can I control here, right? What can I do to actually improve my perception of this and ultimately control what I can. Because your perception being stressful doesn't make your life better. It doesn't make you more capable of dealing with that stress. It just makes it feel sometimes outside of our control. Right? Like the reason we find things stressful is because it probably feels as though there's something here that I can't control in general, right? Like I have no ability to change that. But you do have the ability to change your perception of it. Yeah. It's like I don't deny that things are stressful, man. I get it. Sometimes life's fucking hard. And we always have the ability to see the opposite side of it, to be like, what benefit am I gaining from this? That's a Demartini thing. It's like there's a stress here for sure. Great. What benefit am I receiving from this? How is this making me better? How is this making me stronger? How is this making my life better right now? In this moment, same thing. Equal and opposites. Life has polarities, it always balances out. That's one of the most empowering concepts that I've ever been given. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. And so, yeah, I would say just like lean in on those workouts in the morning, try to make them as hard as you possibly can. So you're developing that psychological resilience because exercises can make you very psychologically resilient. It's the hardest thing you do in a day, generally. I mean, you go to work. Maybe your perception is a little bit different. Maybe you're a little feel a little more resilient, and now you're going to perceive the chaos, so to speak.
Okay.
Yeah. Andrew, what's going on with you, man? Andrew G.
Hey, getting into a strength phase with Coach Chris last couple weeks.
How's that feeling?
So that's been a nice change. Still trying to cut some weight, kind of reevaluate what my goals were there.
What's your body fat? Or excuse me, what's your body weight?
This week I got down to 175, and that was my initial weight goal, but I think I'm realizing now it's not low enough. Definitely want to lean out more.
Yeah, what was your starting weight?
Around 195.
Right. And so you have a new target? Did you kind of reassess and
I mean, yeah, I'm not sure at this point. I haven't done like a DEXA to know my exact body fat. Probably down 3 or 4%. I had an initial goal of dropping like 6%, but yeah, thinking could do more
yeah.
on the scale number and the body fat number at this point. So.
Now I'll tell you what. Life will never be better than it is today, right? And like the opportunity to change will never be better than the one right in front of you. And like jump on every opportunity that life gives you and like get way leaner and way stronger and way better than you thought, because why not, right? Because you're
Yeah.
capable and you can. You know, like that's just go for it, man. Yeah, I always say, like, I always tell the coaches to push guys like beyond what you think you're capable of. Like if you say, hey, I want to get 10%, great, we'll get to 6. Will it suck? Yes. Will it make you better? Yes. Right? Push it.
Yeah, sounds good.
Amen. Al, I don't want to bug you because I know you're driving, man, but any questions from you personally?
I'm driving BPAC, but I'm listening. No questions at this time. Just Coach Andrew and I, we're just focusing. It's almost go time. The next race is 2 weeks from this Saturday, so just heads down, focusing. The nerves and butterflies are already starting to build up, but going through visualization, focusing on the plan, focusing on our workouts. This race is the course is a lot flatter than the last one, so we're focusing on speed. So we're incorporated. We did a mass test, doing mass intervals twice a week. Still logging in my long, slow miles and just getting pumped, man. Just trying to get in the mental headspace, getting ready for it.
Man, I'm sure you're well aware of this, but this was an empowering thing for me to learn. You know, those butterflies, those nerves that are building. You know, it's important to realize that fear or nervousness and excitement is the exact same feeling. The only difference is preparedness, right? So if I'm standing at the top of a double black diamond and I'm looking down, and there's two people standing there, one person's never been there before, the other person's been there many times. They both feel the same level of arousal. They both feel the same level of like excitation or excitement and call it butterflies. One views it as fear or nerves. The other one views it as excitement. The only difference between the two is preparedness. So as you feel that, you just lean in and go, okay, I just need to make sure I'm prepared. Because if you're prepared, now all of a sudden it just feels like excitement.
I like it. And as our friend Brian Johnson would say, that's exactly what he says. It's not, I'm nervous, I'm not scared. The words he uses is, I'm excited. So it's almost like a mindset shift. It's, I'm not scared. I tell it to my kids. It's like, you're not, okay, yes, first day of school. It's like, you're excited. That energy, you're excited. Thank your body for preparing yourself for this moment. And that's just the way I'm looking at it. And yeah, with Andrew and I, it's sort of like, we don't want to leave any stone unturned. And the ultimate goal is obviously to perform and qualify for the next, but just do our best, run our game, run our race, and be happy with it.
Love it. And yeah, I'm believing you, man. I know you're going to do your best. No matter what happens, you're just pushing a new level of capability.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Des, anything you want to chat about, buddy?
I was the part that you mentioned about energy production, how would you approach that, or how are you actually aware of it when you're like lacking energy production? Me and Andrew are kind of, we're going to go get some bloods done and send them to Greg, and approach like the digestive system and stuff, because I feel like that's something out of those pillars that I'm struggling with, is the energy production. I think everything else is in line, it just like that
Yeah.
energy production kind of.
So, man, energy is at the foundation of everything. And so there's so many different potential influences on energy. First thing I'd say, well, how do you know if I'm lacking energy? Well, when you wake up in the morning, how do you feel? Do you need coffee to get going? Do you have an energy lull in the afternoon? Do you ever feel like you don't have enough energy to go do something, no matter what time of the day it is, right? So energy looks like kind of two directions in nature. It's amplitude and duration. Like if I want to go lift and sprint or fight, I need a high amplitude of energy, fast energy production, rate of energy needs to be high. That's one direction. The other direction is duration. If I want to have a 16, 18-hour day of me doing things all day, do I have the energy to do that? And so you have kind of two energy systems. One is about amplitude, the other is about duration. And so our goal as coaches is to develop both of those based on meeting your demands, based on meeting your goals. So which one are you missing? Are you lacking the intensity? Are you lacking the duration? Maybe both. And so the first things we start looking at is like, well, what do I need to do to improve those? So is it sleep? Is it nutrition? Is it stress management? Is it micronutrients? Is it VO2 max or specific to training? And so it's always solvable. Like it's always solvable if you're willing to do the work, right? So most of the energy in your body is produced by your mitochondria. So we have to look at, well, what are the things that limit mitochondria? So it could be inflammation, could be oxidative stress, it could be vitamin and mineral deficiencies. It's like we got to make sure we check all of those boxes. So all of our coaches are training this stuff. If you have challenges with energy, say, coach, I'm lacking amplitude or I'm lacking duration, and we can fix it. Because it's just a matter of training it and make sure your body has the base level foundational nutrients to optimize for it.
Thanks.
Yeah. And there's also like depending how deep you want to go, Des, I know you're kind of a biohacker. There's peptides, man. Peptides are interesting. There's two things that come to mind right off the top of the top of head. 5-amino-1-MQ and SS31, also potentially MOTC. There's like three. They're all mitochondrial peptides, which over time will increase your mitochondrial effectiveness. Maybe not. Some of them work acutely. Some of them work over time. I can drop those names in the chat if you have any.
Yeah, that would help. Great, thanks.
Yeah, happy to do it. Anyone else have questions, comments?
Don't know if this would be the right spot for it, but since you just mentioned the peptides, I was also thinking about another substance, tesafensine. Have you,
I've heard a lot about it.
I've experimented with it, so I'm just wondering, because it's an
Yeah.
N of one, how,
No, yeah,
what are
I'd
your
love to hear about it,
results?
man. The only two people I've talked to said you feel great for a couple of days and then you don't sleep.
It's definitely dosage dependent.
Oh,
It
that makes
is.
sense.
I take the very lowest that's available, but it's just funny as you're talking about energy, thinking mitochondria, and then I'm like thinking of the psychological aspect of it too, because tesafensine definitely has an effect on that system. And as a
Like
matter of fact, it
brain
was so
medicine.
effective. Yeah, you know, just the, you know, it's kind of like taking LSD drops. It's just that general well-being type of thing.
Yeah.
But
not that we've ever done that, Kurt.
But having done two separate experiments with the tesafensine, I think a lot of people are probably just using too much, getting jittered, not sleeping. You can actually take it every other day. You don't need to. And another thing I just noticed was there was no, because you know, like when people, because it's very similar in aspects to many other like psychological or psychotropic meds, you know, like SSRIs, things of that nature, because the type of system it acts on, but yet there's no fall off period that I noticed. You know how a lot of those medicines you have to wean off of, with the tesafensine, I didn't notice it. So, of course, I'm monitoring also for heart reasons as well, because it can increase your heart rate, but it seems to drop off as soon as you quit it. But anyway, on the energy front, I think I just kind of noticed that it might be probably the same way a person with depression feels when they're on something that changes their outlook. You know, it's not that their mitochondrial balance got better per se, but there was also just a little bit more pep in their step.
Very cool. That's interesting. Thank you for sharing, man. Like I said, I've talked to two people about it. It's probably a dose thing. Sounds accurate.
What dosage would you recommend for that? I just ordered some and it just came in today, so I was going to give it a little try.
Well, the thing is, if you ordered it and it came in capsules, it's probably already in a pre-dosed form, right?
Yeah.
So
I think they're 500, but I think they recommend starting at 250. So should I just cut the cap in half? Yeah.
Well, usually a capsule, it's powder on the inside, so you can't really.
Oh, okay. So it's capsule. Okay, I wasn't sure if it was a pill or a capsule. Okay.
Yeah, it's usually a capsule, but the way I know people getting around that is, like I said, the every other day thing. For me, even at 250, every other day was good. But you know, you probably might have a little bit more on the mass wise, so maybe you could handle. But I would definitely, you know, I'm just like you. No. My word carries no more weight than anyone else's, but I'd just say, I think every day, anybody who's doing that stuff every day has to be like manic because it's pretty effective.
You can always break a capsule in half, right? You just got to have something to put the other one in. Like I used to do that all the time. Like take half a capsule. You obviously got half a capsule left, but you store it somewhere for a day. And yeah, I mean, start with 250, Chris. Be conservative. Okay. See how he feels, man. Like worst thing in the world is getting a bad experience or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyone else have any questions for today? Or are we wrapping? Des, how's your experience been with good old Mr. Hawkins?
Yeah, it's been really good actually. It's been bringing quite a bit of clarity to awareness in the present moment and stuff. So. Just being aware of my subconscious wanting to act on stuff and then getting in between that and stopping it from happening has been quite mind-blowing actually. So I've also
mentioned
the Reverie app as well that you suggested. I've been using that before workouts and before my poker sessions and before I go do swing work and stuff, and that's helped a bunch. Just kind of remaining focused during everything.
Beautiful, man. So Dez is into David Hawkins right now. I'm not sure which ones he's read, but any other spiritual stuff along that line that you'd suggest Dez get into?
Offline, Dez and I communicated, and I had him following a playlist of a guy I work with, and I don't know, Dez, you want to see how that's been going for you?
Yeah, talks a lot about like the separation of thing. That simply always awakes the guys. He's been really good and just kind of helping me understand, like how I don't know. He's quite like passive in his approach. He doesn't like kind of force it in your face. So you kind of have to like subtly kind of like pick it up of him. And it's basically just kind of finding that kind of present moment and just kind of letting everything be essentially. But being aware of what's happening around about you and kind of just. Leading into that, it's really cool.
Yeah. So as you say that, man, one of the things that I encourage all of you guys to do is, you know, in this moment, your body's experiencing the world through five senses, and how acutely and specifically, I guess, you can spend time with that experience. Right? What are you feeling? What are you hearing? What are you seeing? What are you smelling? What are you tasting? And just like the depth of perception can completely change your life. the ability to experience this moment with a depth that you've never experienced before, simply by being present with that sense, it's an incredible way to bring beauty into your life, because there's so much beauty that exists in every single instance. If you're willing to sit with your senses and experience the nuance of sensory experience, from warm to cold and hot to light to dark, and touch, there's so much nuance that exists within it. And you don't need anything. Like, you get to exist in the beauty of the moment and appreciate the beauty of the moment rather than requiring anything outside of you. So would you mind sharing, Kurt or Des, who that person is, or is that a private?
No, I'll put the YouTube, the search term they can use to find it. And I believe Des probably went, you can watch stuff randomly, or I would recommend his playlist, but, I went out and met him, actually spent a week with him, and he's an MD, but that has nothing to do with any of this. But it was just good to have another person with critical mindset who was basically lifting the curtain. So I'll type it here in the comments.
Great. You know what I've been listening to lately? I don't know if you know this guy, Robert Edward Grant. You ever heard that guy? Look him up. He's got a podcast. So the reason, similar to you, the reason I like this guy is he's a polymath and a mathematician, and he's basically quantifying, you know, consciousness with math, and he does it in a way that isn't ridiculously nerdy. And actually, some of the stuff he says is a bit over my head, but some of the stuff he says is super, super valuable. So he's got a podcast. Robert,
what was his name again?
Robert Edward Grant.
Maybe I have.
Yeah, so he's got some decent podcasts with people you would recognize, like some spiritual kind of types. But I've enjoyed some of his stuff. Like, anyone who thinks that deeply about life and math, and still goes down this, because, you know, spiritual people tend to be a little bit off in space, usually a little bit ditzy, kind of like not too huge amounts of integrity. So I'm like, I'm not drawn to those types of people who are wearing smocks and like talking in code. This guy's he's quantifying consciousness and doing it in an intellectual way. So I appreciate it. But as I said, some of the shit's way beyond my level of understanding.
Yeah. That's like Donald Hoffman, if you listen to him. And, you know,
welcome to Somebody Always Awake.
Sorry.
This channel is dedicated to you.
Somewhere. But Donald Hoffman is another one to listen to. The cool thing about this is, you know, most people, they start hearing this stuff, they kind of tune out, you know, because they might have people who they knew were New Agers and all this other stuff and conflate it. But now in the actual, well, I won't say legitimate, but if you know, the more well-respected circles are exploring. So like this Robert Edward guy that you're talking about, Donald Hoffman also, and they're actually, and a lot of it's done through math. That's what's so crazy about it. It's done through math. So that's pretty cool.
Man, so here's the thing that I've been landing on. And we all look for someone outside of ourselves to show us the path. But I really believe we all have the same information inside. Most people are just too lazy to sit with yourself and like do the work and sit in meditation and contemplate. And your soul knows the path. Your soul knows all the information you're looking for. But we're always looking for someone outside of ourselves to validate it. I just don't think it's necessary, right? The more I sit with myself in stillness and contemplate and just not even contemplate, just like be, the more that the path just is like, oh, it's right there. And every time you're struggling to know which direction to go and what the answer to this question is, like, there's no one outside of yourself that you need to give you direction. It's already inside of you. And that sounds woo-woo, but like your connection to source and spirit and God and whatever is always there. It's not going away. You just need to reestablish that connection. And sometimes the spark is dim, but the spark never goes away. And so create this space for yourself if you're willing to do it. And sometimes there's fear, right? There's fear of, you know, I always believe that the greatest quote of all time is, our fear is not they're inadequate. Our greatest fear is that we're powerful beyond measure. And I really believe that all of us know that at an unconscious level. And we don't always, sometimes it's very, very troublesome to realize how powerful you truly are and you're not actually living up to that. I think that's probably the human condition. We're like, oh yeah, I'm like, I don't want to know how powerful I am, because I don't even know want to know how I should how I could be experiencing the world. It's for me, it induces fear. But stepping into it is like, okay, so let's see what this looks like. Because you're going to be, the reason I say it induces fear is you're going to be different. You're going to be judged. You know, like you're like, oh, there's all that fear all around. Why am I like, I kind of just want to be like everybody else, you know? No one's like everybody else. We're all like ourselves. Anyways, guys, get back to your life. I appreciate you all being here on Wednesday night. Hopefully we provide some value. And I look forward to seeing you guys all here next week. Will I be here in this next week? Yeah, I'll be on this call next week. See you guys next week.
Thanks.
And keep crushing it. Coach Steve, thanks for being